Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, the love of God made flesh, I greet you. I welcome you to the service of worship. As God's people, we gather as God's people. Let us worship and praise. Please be seated. At this time, I would draw your attention to the life and work of our church, which is found printed in our order of service in the announcements. First, as always, is a warm welcome to any and all who are visiting with us this day. It's always a pleasure to have visitors. If you are visiting, I would invite you to sign our guest book and to make yourselves known to those around you and to myself before you leave. Following the service, there is a time of coffee and conversation in the hall, and everyone is welcome to join us for that time. I'm going to turn your attention to a couple of the announcements which are found printed on our insert this morning. The prayers and Christian sympathy of the congregation are extended to Carl and Mark Brown and family following the death of their son, Timothy Malcolm Brown, last week. The funeral will be at C.L. Curry Funeral Home on Monday, December 19th at 10:30 a.m. Please do keep Tim's family and friends in your thoughts and prayers in the weeks to come. I do want to extend my thanks to everyone who is sharing their gifts of music through this Advent and Christmas season. We are so richly blessed within this congregation to have so many people with such wonderful musical talents, and we're very pleased that they're sharing them with us this day and the days which have come before and the days which will follow. Next Saturday night is Christmas Eve. So I'm looking for readers for the Christmas Eve services. I have two readings left that need readers for the 7 o'clock service, and three spots, for the 9 o'clock service. And if you're interested in reading down at Cape George, speak to Margaret Valentine. She has the cards. If you are interested in reading at any of the services here at St. James, please talk to me following the service. The storm last Thursday and Friday pretty much shut the town down, so unfortunately our Connections newsletters, the print version, are sitting over at the Casket office, which hasn't been open since the church office closed. They will be here on Monday morning if you want to stop by and pick one up. They certainly will be here Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The electronic version, though, doesn't get stopped because of the weather, and it's up on the website, and it is wonderful. Bob, I'm not sure where you find the stuff in the archives. But I must admit, I've never been in a session meeting quite like the one you describe. And now I've piqued everyone's interest. No Sunday school classes next Sunday, which is Christmas Day, and on New Year's Day, the Sunday following. Next Sunday, there is a service at 10:30 a.m. at our normal time. Everyone is invited to come, and I'd invite you to bring something that you've received for Christmas to share with the congregation during the children's time. If it won't come through the door, you can just tell us about it. Community Christmas dinner, of course, information there, and if you're interested in being a part of that, Carolyn's email as well as her telephone number are there. The other announcements are as printed in your order of service, and I certainly would draw them to your attention and action as appropriate. Next Saturday night, of course, Christmas Eve services are at 4 p.m. down at St. David's. 7 p.m. is our family service here at St. James, and our Candlelight Communion service is at 9 p.m. Matthew here today? No. He wanted me to make sure everyone knew that he had just had his 11th anniversary with L'Arche, and was very, very pleased of that. So next time you see Matthew, certainly congratulate him on that milestone. Other announcements or notices to come before us at this time? Not hearing any, then I would invite you to stand as you are able as we join together in our introit. and our call to worship. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. To experience our weakness, to walk among us. And let us pray together. Come, Lord Jesus, come as our light, come as our peace, come as our hope, come as our joy, come as our light, and stay with us forever. Amen. Our hymn number 9 in Voices United, People Look East, the Time is Near. Join together now in our prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, we seek possessions, expecting we will find joy in their security. We chase after pleasures, expecting to satisfy the emptiness within us. We isolate ourselves, thinking we can protect our hearts from hurt. When that doesn't work, we find ourselves angry and resentful. Forgive us, O God. Help us to seek joy in loving you without reservation and in loving one another with kindness. Amen. Hear these words of assurance from our gospel lesson this morning. For the angel spoke to Joseph regarding Mary. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let us believe the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners and to return us to the family and household of God. I'm going to invite you to remain seated as we sing together number 69 in Voices United, Away in a Manger.
Thank you. The Sunday of Love.
Jesus shows us God's perfect love in human form. Those who believe in Jesus live in love. Love transforms and changes all things. It never ends.
We light this candle today to remind us that God is love. We thank God for the hope that Jesus gives us, for the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way. O God of love, Emmanuel, send your light into our hearts. Let us celebrate your love and all show that love to the whole world, both today and forevermore. Amen.
Wrong!
Wrong!
And that's where Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus. And she laid him in the beautiful car seat that they'd taken out of the manger. There were some shepherds looking after their cows by night.
No! No!
What were they looking after, Josie? What were they looking after? Wonderful! Do you know what they were looking after, the shepherds?
Sheep.
Sheep. Well, they were looking after their sheep. And suddenly, an angel appeared to them. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were really terrified, really scared. And the angel said, "You better watch out."
No!
What did the angel say? No, before the angel said it, the very first thing that the angel said, it's important because you're going to hear it time and time again in the Bible, is don't be afraid. And the angel said that there was a baby that was born and was lying in the manger, and they were to go and see. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of angels of the heavenly host, and they were praising God and they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and will to everyone." And then it was quiet and it was silent. And the shepherds said to each other, "Wow, what a wild night." What did the shepherds say?
Do
you remember what the shepherds said?
I know it was about, but I don't remember.
You don't remember? Do you remember where they, what they did after the angels left?
They left.
That's right.
No.
They went to see the baby Jesus. So they said to each other, "Let's go and see what happens." And so they went into Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lying in the manger, just as it had been told to them. And they told everyone about it. And everyone was amazed at what they said. No, that's true. They were. The shepherds returned to the fields, praising and glorifying God for everything they had seen and everything they had heard. And good for you for remembering all those important points in the story, because it's important for us to remember what happened in Bethlehem this season. So why don't we right now fold our hands and bow our heads and join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Prepare our hearts this morning for the reading of Scripture. Let us pray. God of wisdom and hope, as we listen to your words this morning, help us to hear what you have to say to us, and help us to understand the call of your love for our lives. For we've gathered as your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel and is found on page 900 of Voices United. Israel, who has raised up for us a mighty Savior, through the holy prophets of old, God promised to save us from our enemies, to show the mercy promised to our ancestors, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way.
To give the people knowledge of salvation by the sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us.
The shadow of those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, and the eye of the evil way of peace.
Reading from the book of Isaiah. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste.
I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, and an apostle chosen and called by God to preach his good news. The good news was promised long ago by God through his prophets, as written in the Holy Scriptures. It is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As to his humanity, he was born a descendant of David. As to his divine holiness, he was shown with great power to be the Son of God by being raised from death. Through him, God gave me the privilege of being an apostle for the sake of Christ, in order to lead people of all nations to believe and obey. This also includes you who are in Rome, whom God has called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so I write to all of you in Rome, whom God loves and has called to be his own people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace.
The Gospel of Jesus according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken to the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. May God bless to us a further understanding of these words, and to the name of God be eternal glory and honor and praise. Amen. Winter came early this year. I know that sounds obvious given the massive snowbanks and the fact that the town and county were effectively shut down for the last 2 days. But I'm not simply speaking about blizzards and freezing cold temperatures, but also about the chill which seems to be in the air no matter what the thermometer says. For some people, winter started in November when things became so uncertain in the United States. For others, it came with one of the host of difficulties happening in the world, things like the ongoing horror in Syria, Aleppo in particular, the currency crisis in Venezuela and India, and even the canceling of Christmas concerts because of the ongoing disputes in the school system. Yes, there are signs of Christmas around us and we're drawn closer to the day, but it seems this year like there's a shadow, a layer of anxiety and uncertainty that I haven't noticed in past years, which I think makes the gospel reading very appropriate for us to hear this morning. Our reading from Matthew gives us one of our only glimpses at Joseph. Remember him? The man in the nativity set who doesn't carry a present? The one who rarely, if ever, is mentioned in carols or songs, and who never has a speaking role in the pageant? Yet he's always there, at the back, a reassuring presence, a constant figure who cannot and should not be discounted. Because our reading today tells us that Joseph is a righteous man. And while that tiny little phrase almost goes unnoticed, the fact is that it explains to us who Joseph is and the reasons for his actions before, during, and after the birth of Jesus. Joseph is engaged to Mary, and she becomes pregnant. Joseph knows very well that the child's not his, and while he has every right to publicly shame her, he chooses instead to very quietly and privately break things off. And that's our first sign of his righteousness. He's considerate and caring. And let's remember that righteousness is something more than simply being a nice person. Joseph's fiancée is pregnant with someone else's child, so he must be feeling spurned and rejected. He has to be angry, bitter, and even resentful. But instead of lashing out and making her infidelity known to everyone, he acts discreetly and compassionately. In the worst of circumstances, Joseph chooses to act in the best, the most grace-filled way possible, and end things without making a fuss. The gospel continues to say that an angel comes to Joseph in a dream, explains who the child is, and encourages him to take Mary as his wife. And a couple of things for us to notice. The decision about what to do is Joseph's to make. The angel delivers the message from God, telling him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. But it's up to Joseph to decide how he's going to treat both that message and Mary. And here we see the second sign of his righteousness. Joseph does as he's asked. He trusts. He believes in what God tells him to do. He has faith. And let's not diminish how hard that is for him to do. He has no proof, no certainty that the child Mary is carrying is the promised Messiah. He has to trust that he's understood what he's been told in the dream. He has to believe not simply that he's understood the message, but also in what God is doing. Now, for us listening to the story well after the fact, we get impatient. Because, of course, what other decision could he make? Mary's carrying Jesus, the Christ. So, of course, Joseph should be there to support her, to raise him, to protect both of them. Yet that's our perspective looking back at the story. At this point, all Joseph knows for sure is that there will be humiliation, whispers in the community, and even scorn because Mary is pregnant and they're not married. Her family, his family, will be scandalized, and even after years pass, they'll still be that couple. Yet he's a righteous man. And that means that what he decides, when he makes a choice and sets his face in a direction, that he does so through faith. And that leads us to the third sign of his righteousness. Joseph chooses to look to the future in faith. He makes his decision not based on how hard it will be for him, but on how it will affect Mary, the unborn child in the world. He cares about what he can give to them and what role he can play in their lives. He trusts God. And as a result, he commits himself to being Jesus' earthly father. He isn't in it for the recognition, the glory, for the praise. He does what he does. He steps forward and steps up because Joseph is a righteous man. And we know that because of what he does in his life. The passage from Matthew's gospel gives us insight into the man who influenced and was there in Jesus' early life, and who shared with Mary in the responsibility of keeping Jesus safe as he grew. The words give us a bit more understanding of the figure who's there in the decorations and observances, but whose role is more behind the scenes and less dramatic than the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, or even Mary herself. But more than that, I think Joseph helps us to figure out how to approach Christmas this year and to face the winters which arrive unexpectedly in our lives. Because remember, Joseph doesn't know what's going to happen and has to take the future in faith just as we do. And the way we can face the uncertainty, decide how to act in the turmoil, persevere in the times of difficulty, is by choosing to be righteous. First, by being people who care about those around us and who act in the best ways possible, no matter what the situation. Always taking the high road in the way of compassion and grace. Then by listening. Listening and trusting in what God asks of us in our lives, no matter how difficult or how uncertain the future may be. Following in the way Jesus calls us to go, because that's who we are and we have chosen to live that way. And finally, by following through. Not because others will notice or we'll get the spotlight, but because it's the right thing to do. For when we look at the world in faith, when we answer God in faith, then we live a life which changes the world around us. And we discover that the righteous life, although not always easy, is in fact the way to see and know God each and every day. Listening and acting and trusting is the way for us to welcome God into our lives. For as we spoke about last Sunday, the difficulties in our lives and in our world don't prevent God from coming among us, but are in fact the reason God sends a Savior, why God chooses to become Emmanuel, God with us, so that we're not alone, so that we can see the way, so that we can face this life with love supporting, surrounding, and encouraging us. For God wishes to be with us as a child born in Bethlehem, as the teacher teaching us the way to live, as the Savior dying and rising for our sakes. And when we hope in God and answer God with our lives, then we receive all that God offers to us. And the Christmas story, the Christian story, becomes our story, not just for this season, but for the rest of our lives. Let's join our voices together in hymn number 68 in Voices United, All Poor Ones and Humble. writes in his second letter to the church at Corinth, "You know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Let us, as people who've been blessed by God, answer those blessings by sharing some of those gifts with others. Let us present our tithes and offering." Most generous, most gracious God, through these gifts, we offer to others the riches of Christ, not merely possessions, but also the love and the grace which you have showered upon us through his birth. Take these gifts and bless them, that through them others might know and experience your love and your grace. For we offer everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. God of love, we thank you today for the ways in which you have communicated to us, for the ways you have revealed yourself to the people you have created. We thank you for your revelation in nature, for the glory and majesty we see in the world that we live in. We praise you for the revelation of yourself in the written word, for the records of your dealings with humankind, for your revelations to the prophets, for your inspiration to the poets and artists, for your words of both promise and judgment, and for communication of what is expected of us in conduct and morality. We praise you for the revelation of yourself in the person of Jesus Christ. We praise you for the unique miracle of word made flesh, of divine presence in human form, of timeless truth breaking forth at a certain point in human history, for your revelation of divine love revealed in human service and sacrifice. God of grace, as we give you thanks for your presence and call for us in our lives, we lift up our prayers for those around us and for ourselves. We pray for those who are traveling this time of year, those who are separated from loved ones by distance or circumstance, and for those who find this season difficult. We remember those grieving the death of a loved one, the end of a marriage, an ability or opportunity which is now gone. We lift up before you the people of Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places in the world where there is conflict and strife. Hear us, we ask, as we pray these prayers and those which we offer now in the silence of our hearts. God of love and grace, help us as we draw near to the manger to see your answer and the way you call us to know you and your salvation. Allow us to move past the shadows of this world and our lives to see the light and to proclaim loudly our praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you do for us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our hymn number 62 in Voices United, Once in Royal David City. you go forth from this place into the day and week ahead, may Jesus Christ, who gave up the glories of the heavenly places to walk among us with deeds of self-denying love, give you grace and peace to follow this day and forevermore. And as you go, may the grace, may the mercy, and may the peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.